Welcome to the Shiur Ramban, Parshas Re'eh. The Shiur this evening is sponsored by David Correll and Dr. Freema Gottlieb, marking the yard site today of David's mother, Janet Correll. Zlato Brocho Bas David Leib. Shomer should have an aliyah, should see much nachas ruach from the Torah mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim that the entire family is involved in. We're going to take a look at a few passages today from the Ramban in Parshas Re'eh and the subsequent discussion concerning those passages in the Ramban. The topic is when the mitzvah of Aliyah LaRegel, the mitzvah of coming to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year, at what point in Jewish history did that mitzvah begin? That's the general topic. We're going to see the Ramban has a few interesting things to say about that topic. First, we'll turn our attention to the Psukim in the beginning of Parshas Re'eh. In the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, we're told, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Hey, Ki im al ha-mokom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem mikol shivteichem, lo sum eshem osham, to the place that Hashem your God chooses from all of your tribes, to place his name there, l'shichno sidrishu, seek out his dwelling place, uvasa shaman, go there. In other words, there's this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to choose a special place, and you should go there. Vaveisem shama, oloseichem v'sivcheichem v'yeis masroseichem v'yeis trumas yedchem. You should bring all of your karbanos to that central location. V'yachaltem sham l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem. You should eat the karbanos there before Hashem your God. U'smachtem b'chol mishlach yedchem. You should rejoice. And then the pasuk says in Ches, lo sa'asun k'chol asher anachnu osim po hayom ish kol hayosher be'enof. You should not do that which we are doing here today, every person what's right in his own eyes. Ki lovosem ad ato el hamnucha v'el anachala asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lach. Because up until this point you have not yet come to the resting place and to the inheritance which Hashem your God has given to you. Those last two psukim are particularly obscure. You should not do all of the things that we're doing here today, everyone what's right in his eyes, because you haven't yet come to the resting place and to the inheritance. What on earth is meant by those words? So the Ramban, as he so often does, starts off by quoting the Ibn Ezra. Amir Rabbi Avraham b'derech ha-pshat, this is the Ramban to Pasuk Ches. Rabbi Avraham the Ibn Ezra says on a pshat level, ki per shubo ba'avur shahayunosim imasa el masa v'yakriv ola b'masa shiyirtse. Since the Jewish people at this point were traveling from place to place, so people would choose to bring karbanos to the extent to which they chose to do so. Some people would bring the bechor, the firstborn of their flock, as a karban to the Mishkan, others would not. Ki amitzvah tluya ba'aretz. The mitzvah of bringing bechor behema, of bringing the firstborn of one animal, of one's animals, of one's flock, is a mitzvah that's dependent upon being in Eretz Yisrael. So according to this interpretation cited by the Ibn Ezra, what the Pasuk is saying is follows. Right now, that we're still in the desert, some people choose to bring certain karbanos, like a bechor, a firstborn animal. Others choose not to. It's a somewhat voluntary karban, given our current state of affairs. But when you come into Eretz Yisrael, all of that is going to change. The obligation to bring karbanos like the bechor, like the firstborn, is going to become a full-fledged obligation, not just something which is voluntary. So the psukim then read, Lo sasun k'chol asher anachnu osim po hayom ish kol hayosher be'enov. Don't do everything which we do today, whatever somebody wants. In other words, don't treat these karbanos as being voluntary. Ki lo vosem ad ato el hamnucha v'el anachala. You haven't yet come to the resting place, to the inheritance, i.e. you haven't yet come to Eretz Yisrael. That's why bringing these karbonos is voluntary. But once we come into Eretz Yisrael, these karbonos are going to be obligatory. That's the Ibn Ezra quotes from others. The Ibn Ezra himself says, "Ve'ein zos dati." I don't think that's the way to read the psukim. So rather, he suggests something else. Raktamo shelohayu kulam yirei Hashem. Ibn Ezra gives a totally different interpretation. He says Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Klal Yisrael at the end of his life, and he realized that the Jewish people were not so strong in their beliefs. They were not so strong in their commitments to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Lo sasun k'chol asher anachnu osim po ayom. Don't act in the way in which we act here today. Namely, a way in which our faith and our commitment to Hashem seems to be lacking. Ish kol ayosher be'enov. Everybody does whatever they please. Don't do that. Don't act in a way which goes against the Torah. Rather, kilovosem arato el hamnucha v'yala nachala. Rather, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you really have to make an effort to clean up your act, to act in a way which is proper. Because, you know, if you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, this holy land, and act in the lackadaisical fashion that you're acting in now, it's not going to be good. Uba'avur she'omar anachnu, ki mitzvos rabos ba'olos tluyos ba'aretz. And because the context over here is talking about karbonos, so, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu focuses on the fact that we're kind of lax when it comes to the karbonos. We need to shape up, you know, to fix up our act when we come into Eretz Yisrael. So writes the Ibn Ezra. The Ramban doesn't like that. Ve'eino nochom she'ein midarach haparsha she'idaber b'tochachos v'yomer lehem ato she'enom osim mitzvah Hashem v'ish kol ha'yosher be'enov yaseh. The sense of the pasuk, according to the Ibn Ezra, doesn't really seem to fit into the context. Moshe Rabbeinu was not giving mussar to the people at this point in time. The first three parshios of Sefer Dvarim, Dvarim, Vaskan, and Ekev, yeah, those were chock full of mussar. But at this point, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to have moved on from mussar and is focusing on the dinim. He's focusing on the laws that he wants to teach to Klal Yisrael. So for Moshe Rabbeinu to suddenly come and say, don't act in the laid-back kind of fashion in which you're acting right now, it just doesn't seem to fit the context. Furthermore, ve'eich yomar Moshe Rabbeinu anachnu osim ba'averos cholila. Furthermore, says the Ramban, what's the language of Moshe Rabbeinu anachnu? Don't act in the way in which anachnu osim po hayom. Don't act in the way in which we are acting today. What do you mean we? Moshe Rabbeinu is including himself. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that he's also an Avarian. He's saying that he's also someone whose faith in God is lacking, is not as strong as it should be. It should be, says the Ramban, Hayaroi Shiyomer lo sasu, kechol asher osisem ad hayom. He should have spoken to them in the second person. Don't act in the way in which you have acted to the present. What's he talking about in the present tense and including himself? So the answer might be, according to the Ibn Ezra, that this is actually part of the incredible modesty and the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo sasim kechol asher anachnu osim po hayom. We, including myself, aren't living up to the proper standards. We have to raise our standards when we come into Eretz Yisrael. That's possible. But the Ramban is not convinced by this pshat. So instead, he suggests the following. The focus of these psukim, says the Ramban, is entirely on mitzvos related to the Beis HaMikdash. Pirush HaKosuv. What the Torah means is as follows. Ki Yisrael nitztavu b'amidbar lizboach kol bikoram v'tzonam shlomim lifnei HaMishkon. As is indicated in Parshas Acharemos, the Jewish people, when they were in the desert, were never allowed to have what's called besar taiva. They were never allowed to have meat just because they were in the mood for fleishiks. Any meat that the Jewish people ate while they were in the midbar, while they were in the desert, had to be brought first as a karbon. You wanted to have a hamburger for dinner? Great, first bring an animal as a karbon shlamim to the Mishkan. shecht it, offer it up, and then the meat you can have, for dinner. Aval be'ezem makom shiyamishkan yaseh osam. The Jews would have to bring an animal as a carbon wherever the Mishkan happened to be. But outside of that desire that the Jewish people had to bring a carbon shlamim in order to eat meat, they never had personal obligations in the Midbar to bring any carbonos whatsoever. Now this idea, which the Ramban is putting forward over here, is a very notable idea in its own right. Basically the Ramban is saying that the whole system of individual carbonos didn't exist when the Jewish people were in the desert. We've already seen that the Ramban has severely limited the degree to which carbonos were brought in the Midbar. The Ramban, back in Parshas Pinchas and earlier, had said that the whole system of carbonos musaf did not exist while the Jews were in the desert. That was only introduced when they came into Eretz Yisrael. So while they were in the desert, they brought a daily carbon tamid. But, you know, the whole system of an that was a community carbon, the carbon tamid. The whole system of individual carbonos, described at such length in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, that the Ramban writes, that didn't really apply while the Jewish people were in the desert. When did they bring a carbon? If they wanted to eat meat, they brought a carbon shlamim. Outside of that, it sounds like they did not have a formal system of bringing carbonos, at least according to this Ramban. While the Jews were in the desert, they had no concept of having to bring a bechor, a firstborn animal, not ma'aser behema, the tithe from the animals, not ma'aser sheni, not the tithe that was brought when the Jews would come into Eretz Yisrael, into Yerushalayim. The Jews had no obligation while they were in the desert to bring any obligatory personal korbanos at all. The afilu birigolim lo nischayev lovo sham. This is the phrase that I want to focus on particularly tonight. Even on the shlosh rigolim, even on the three pilgrimage festivals, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, there was no concept while the Jews were in the desert of being ola regel, of traveling or being in the vicinity of the Mishkan over the course of the Yom Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. There was no concept of being Ola Regel while the Jews were in the desert. Now we know that the concept of being Ola Regel is not simply a travel concept, it's a concept that involves Karbanos. A Jew who would be Ola Regel during the time that the Beis HaMikdosh stood had to bring a carbon re'iyah, a carbon to accompany his being ola regel. He had to bring a carbon chagiga. He had to bring a celebratory carbon. He brought shalmei simcha. He brought carbonos to represent the simcha that he was having over the course of Yontov. None of those things existed, says the Ramban. In fact, the whole concept of being ola regel didn't apply while the Jews were in the desert. In light of those facts, says the Ramban, that's how we can understand the psukim over here. Lo sasum kichol asher anachnu osim po hayom ish kol hayosher beinav. Right now, when it comes to bringing karbonos, the whole concept of karbonos for a person is voluntary. Ish kol hayosher beinav. You want to bring a carbon, fine. You don't want to bring a carbon, also fine. When you come in Eretz Yisrael, that's going to end. Lo sasum kichol asher anachnu osim po hayom. Don't simply bring karbonos on a voluntary basis. You have not yet come into the place of resting or the inheritance which Hashem is giving you. You have not yet come into Eretz Yisrael. Once you come into Eretz Yisrael, that concept of only bringing karbonos when you feel like it, that concept is going to fall by the wayside. Karbanos are going to become obligatory in a whole bunch of different scenarios that don't apply here in the Midbar. We noted over here that the Ramban says fairly black on white that the concept of being Ola Regel, or the mitzvah of being Ola Regel, of coming up to the Mishkan, to the Beis HaMikdosh three times a year, did not apply while the Jewish people were in the desert. The Klichemda, Rameir Don Plotsky, who was, again, a commentator who lived in the beginning of the 20th century, points out that there's a Rashi earlier in Chumash, in Parshas Kisisa, that seems to support this position of the Ramban, that the mitzvah of being Ola Regel did not apply while the Jews were in the Midbar. At earliest, it would have applied when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael. How so? So Parshas Kisisa, Shmos, Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Chav Gimel, we read, Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana, Yeiracho Zechurcho Espeneho Adon Hashem Elokei Yisrael. 3 times a year, all of your males should go and receive the Master, Hashem, the God of Israel. 3 times a year, there's a mitzvah to be Ola Regel. And the Pasuk continues, Chav Daled, Ki Orish Goyim Yiponecho Virchavti Eskevulecho, it will come a time that I will drive out the nations from before you and expand your boundaries. Lo yachmod ishes artzucha balos chol eros espnei Hashem elokecha shalosh pa'om ibashana. And no one will covet your land when you leave your various places to go and visit HaKadosh Baruch Hu 3 times a year. You're going to be ola regel to Yerushalayim 3 times a year. Nobody is going to suddenly invade your farmland, you know, in the Negev, and take it as his own. That's a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes to Klal Yisrael. On that posuk, Rashi writes as follows: V'yirchavti es gvulecha, I will expand your borders. V'ata rochok mi beis habechira, there will come a time, says Rashi, where your boundaries will be expanded, and you, the Jewish people, are going to spread out in Eretz Yisrael, and you'll be far away from the Beis HaMikdash, ve'enecha yachol leiraos lefonai tamid, and you won't be able to constantly be in my presence. L'chach ani kovei alecha shalosh regalim halalu. For that reason, says Rashi, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, I'm establishing these 3 regalim because you're going to be spread out and far away from me, and you won't be able to be in my presence on a regular basis. Sounds like, says the Kli Chemda, that what Rashi is saying is that when the Jewish people were in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a regular basis, i.e. in the Midbar, when they were all encamped around the Mishkan, so it sounds like the concept of Shlosh Regalim was extraneous. What's Shlosh Regalim? Shlosh Regalim means we make a visit to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu 3 times a year. But if you're living Kaviyocha with the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you're in a machane, if you're in a camp that's centered around the Mishkan, I don't need the Shlosh Regalim. The Shlosh Regalim are a substitute for the fact that I'm no longer living Kaviyachol in the immediate presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if I am, so I don't need the Shlosh Regalim. So the Kli Chemda says, this Rashi sounds like the Ramban, that the whole concept of Shlosh Regalim wouldn't have been relevant. There wouldn't have been an obligation of Shlosh Regalim and everything that came together with it while the Jewish people were in the desert. So that's one passage in the Ramban. That's in the beginning of our Sedra. At the end of our Sedra, there's another passage in the Ramban where he also talks about the mitzvah of Shlosh Regalim and how it relates to various different points in Jewish history. We'll take a look at this passage and we'll try to figure out how the two passages fit together. So towards the end of the Sedra, we know that the Torah talks about the Shlosh Regalim and it describes the mitzvah to be Ola Regel. And in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, in discussing the Yom Tov of Shavuos, it says, V'somachto lefnei Hashem Elokecha, Ato vincho vitecho, v'avducho v'amasecho, v'alevi asher b'sharecho, v'agir b'yosom, v'hamon asher b'kirbecho. Everyone should celebrate before Hashem, b'amokom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha l'shaken shemo shom, in the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to cause his name to dwell in that place. So what's the implication of that last phrase? You should rejoice before Hashem on Shavuos in the place that Hashem has chosen to put His name there. What do you mean to tell me? There's no mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov outside of Yerushalayim? There's no mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov outside of the Beis HaMikdash? We're not obligated to rejoice on Yom Tov only in the Beis HaMikdash? So it writes the Ramban as follows on Pasuk Yir Aleph. V'lo yodati, I'm not sure what this phrase is coming to say. Im lomar ki la'achar shiyibona beis hamikdash lo ne'osef la'hakriv korbonos harigolim elo b'mokom ahu asher yivchar Hashem ketam shiyomar l'sucha l'zbach es ha'pesach v'achad sho'orecho. I'm not sure what this phrase is coming to teach me. Maybe, says the Ramban, option one, it's coming to teach me that after the Beis HaMikdosh is built, the only place where I can bring the korbanos associated with the Yom Tovim is in the Beis HaMikdosh. Right? We know that there was a concept before the Beis HaMikdosh was built of bomos, of private altars. So, you know, I might have thought that maybe these korbanos, being that they're korbanos that relate to the regalim, to the Yom Tovim, maybe these are korbanos that would have a grandfather clause, that even after the Beis HaMikdash would be built, because these korbanos are essential to my Simchas Yom Tov, maybe I'd be able to offer up these korbanos even at home, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So comes the pasuk and it says, no, all of the korbanos associated with the Yom Tovim have to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Ramban, I'm not sure if that's what the pasuk is telling me, or alternatively, O sheyivo erkan shelo yischayvu lalos l'regel ad asher yivchar Hashem makom l'shichno sham. Or perhaps the pasuk is telling me something else, says the Ramban. Perhaps the pasuk is telling me that there's no obligation to be ole regel until Hashem chooses the place that His Shechino is going to rest on that place. In other words, the pasuk is saying you have an obligation to come up and celebrate by being ole regel. Where? Ole regel, the mitzvah of Ali ole regel only applies once Hashem has chosen the place where His Shechino is going to dwell. Now, this sounds like it goes a step further than what the Ramban wrote in the earlier passage. Earlier, the Ramban had said that the mitzvah, and the Ramban said it unequivocally, that the mitzvah of being ole regel did not apply when the Jewish people were in the Midbar. When there was a Mishkan, when they were in the Midbar, it didn't apply. We quoted Rashi in Parshas Kisisa, it doesn't make sense for it to apply, they were constantly in the presence of the Mishkan. Okay, so when did the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego start applying? Now in theory, there are a couple of answers to that question. You could say that the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego started applying at some point after the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael under Yehoshua and set themselves up in Eretz Yisrael. At that point, they were no longer encamped around the Mishkan. The Mishkan was set up in Eretz Yisrael, but it was in Gilgal. It wasn't in Yerushalayim. And yet, the Jewish people were spread out all over Eretz Yisrael. So, perhaps, the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego began at that point. Maybe after the 7 years where the Jews conquered Eretz Yisrael, and the 7 years where they divided up Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so maybe like 14 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego started applying. The Ramban over here seems to be saying not like that. The Ramban over here seems to be saying that the mitzvah being ole regel really only kicked in when HaKadosh Baruch Hu found a permanent place for His Shechina to dwell. Sheyivayer kan shelo yischayvu lalos laregel ad asher yivchar Hashem mokom l'shichno sham. The mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel doesn't apply until HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses a place that He's going to rest His Shechina on. That language is lifted from the Psukim. And in the context of the Psukim, it seems that language talks about when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Yerushalayim to be the final resting place of the Shechina and where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. If that is what the Ramban means, that's a tremendous chiddush. The Ramban is saying that for hundreds of years after Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, it's 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim, to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, so in other words, 440 years from the times that Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael to the Beis HaMikdash was built. For those 440 years, there was no mitzvah of being ole regel. Is that what the Ramban means? So first of all, you understand why the Ramban is not sure that this is what the pasuk means. Because whereas before he was convinced that there's no Aliyah L'Regel in the Midbar, it's a big jump to then say that there's no Aliyah L'Regel until the Jews build the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So you'll say, okay, I can live with that. How do you know that that's not true? Maybe that is indeed true. So then the question becomes, how do you read Psukim in Tanakh in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel? The beginning of Sefer Shmuel describes how Elkanah, the father of Shmuel Anavi, the husband of Chana and Pnina, used to go up to the Mishkan in Shiloh miyamim yamima, on a yearly basis. And it seems that this was a regular pilgrimage that he made to Shiloh. So what was the nature of that pilgrimage? Was that Aliyah L'Regel? So the truth is, you might argue, based on the Psukim, that it wasn't Aliyah L'Regel. Because after all, the Psukim say that he went up miyamim yamima. He went up year after year. Sounds like it was an annual pilgrimage. Aliyah L'Regel is a pilgrimage that takes place three times a year. So maybe that's not what's being described over there. Maybe if anything, you can bring a proof from the Psukim in Shmuel that there was no concept of Aliyah L'Regel when the Mishkan stood in Shiloh. Because after all, Elkanah is being praised for the fact that he went once a year. He went once a year. This mitzvah goes three times a year. What kind of thing is that? However, the Gemara in Masechta Chagiga, in discussing the mitzvah, the details of the mitzvah being Ol Regel, quotes the story of Elkanah and derives certain halachas about being Ol Regel from the story of Elkanah and how he would go to Shiloh on a regular basis. So it seems clear, again, from the Gemara in Chagiga and from Midrashim, that what's being described over there in Sefer Shmuel is Aliyah L'Regel, that Elkanah is being Aliyah L'Regel. It says miyamim yamima. So Mefarshim already say miyamim yamima means that, you know, on a regular basis. Okay, it wasn't just once a year; it was three times a year, but it was regular. It was a regular thing that he did, you know, multiple times during the year. But year after year, this is always what he would do. Other Mefarshim say that it, you know, al pidin. When a person is Ol Regel, all the males have to go. Elkanah, as is clear from the Psukim in Shmuel, took his wives, he took his family. So that was unusual. Maybe that he only did once a year, even though he was Ol Regel the other times a year as well. So if there was a concept being Ol Regel when the Mishkan stood in Shiloh, which is pretty much open and shut in the Psukim, certainly open and shut in the Gemara and the Midrashim, so what's the Ramban doing over here suggesting that the mitzvah of being Ol Regel might have only kicked in when the Jewish people, when the Beis HaMikdash, rather, was built in Yerushalayim? Chatzkel Abramsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his Chazon Yechezkel, Masecht HaZvachim, suggests the following beautiful read of the Psukim, which in turn is a beautiful read of the Ramban. As we mentioned, the Psukim is particularly throughout the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, talk about the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to choose. That's a regular phrase which is used in the Psukim. So for instance, again, we started off with this Pasuk, Kiyim el ha-makom, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk, Kiyim el ha-makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem mikol shivteichem losum es shemosham, the place that Hashem has chosen to place His name there, l'shichno sidrushu v'asa shama, you should go there. V'haya makom and pasuk yud aleph, asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem bo l'shaken shmo sham, shama soviu eis kol asher anochi mitzaveh eschem, the place which Hashem, your God, chooses to cause His name to dwell there, that's the place that you should bring all your korbanos to. There's a constant reference to the place where Hashem's name is going to be. It says Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, if you pay careful attention to the Psukim, you'll see that there's a nuanced difference in the Psukim. Sometimes the Psukim talk about the place where Hashem is Mesim Shemo, is Sam Shemo, He causes His name to be. And sometimes the Psukim talk about where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meshaken Shemo, He causes His place to dwell. the difference is not incidental, says Reb Chatzkel Abramsky. L'shaken Shem Hashem means that Hashem's name dwells there on a temporary basis. L'sum Shmo Shom means that Hashem's name is there permanently. Based on that, says Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, whenever the Psukim talk about L'shaken Shmo, that's always a reference to Shiloh. We know that Shiloh had many of the dinim that the Beis HaMikdash had. The bamos were prohibited even when the Mishkan and Shiloh was extant. So when the Psukim talk about L'shaken Shmo Shom, that Hashem's name rested there temporarily, that's a reference to Shiloh. L'sum Shmo Shom, says Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, to place his name there, that's a reference to Yerushalayim. Oh, so if that's the case, says Reb Chatzkel, so take a look in this Ramban and read it very, very carefully. You have to know how to read a Ramban. Yevoer kan shelo yischayvu lalos laregel ad asher yivchar Hashem makom l'shichno sham. The mitzvah of aliyah laregel, says the Ramban, only applies when Hashem chooses a place to place his name there. L'shaken. L'shaken means to place his name there temporarily, and it's a reference to Shiloh. So says Reb Chatzkel, what the Ramban is really saying is as follows. It's true, when the Mishkan was in Gilgal, when the Mishkan was in Nov and Givon, there was no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. But when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, and then subsequently, of course, when the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, where respectively those were places where Hashem's name was Shochein, or Husam in that place, so then in both Shiloh and Yerushalayim, there was a mitzvah of being Ola L'Rego, and the Ramban's perspective, as articulated over here, fits in beautifully with the Psukim in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu.